Listen up. You are now listening to News with My Fiance with DJ Ambush and Morgan Jones.
Great morning. Tis us, one Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush. It's a Thursday.
I can't hear anything.
It's News with My Fiance.
I can't hear anything.
You know
Ambush
what I'm saying?
Is not letting me be great this morning.
Wow.
He doesn't want me to be able to hear.
I don't get it.
You know, not turning me up in the headphones, not turning y'all up in the headphones. I don't even know if anybody's texting. That's also his fault.
All right.
Kidding, but I really can't.
Down with the patriarchy.
Oh, I can't hear anything.
You know? I will make some adjustments.
Yeah, what'd you say? Down with the patriarchy?
Yeah.
Woo! Yeah! Yeah.
Mess. So anyways,
yeah.
How are you guys, man?
Hi,
how you guys? How you guys holding up? You've had to go so many days without us. I mean, never heard from us since Monday.
And that's if you're, you know, tuning in on the Monday.
Man, the Mondays are heating up. You know, some really great content on the Mondays. A little more risque. What's another word I would use? Salacious, unfiltered.
Mm-hmm.
It's a longer show.
I did my first cusses.
And Morgan was doing some cussing on a Monday.
Yeah.
So,
Got a text. Good morning, Michelle. Good, ready to support striking Portland grocery workers. Morning.
Yeah. I know that's right. I know that's definitely right.
That's absolutely correct.
Yeah.
Solidarity with the striking workers.
And this should be easy, guys. This should be an easy one. We'll get to that story, but it should be an easy one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do not cross that line.
Please.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. Don't make this about yourself. Just go somewhere else.
Go somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was reported that there were...
Whoops. Sorry. Swinging my water bottle around.
Was reported that there were, you know, some pretty empty parking lots and for hire signs and empty parking lots, guys.
That's what I'm talking about.
Don't show up there. Don't go spend money there.
Don't.
That's not what we're doing.
Even if you forget and then you show up, just go somewhere else.
Honk to those workers, flip it around, hit somewhere else.
Don't look at it as an opportunity to shop with no customers bothering you. Don't like, ooh, it's only me. I have full reign of the store. Definitely don't do that. Don't do that. Just please.
Flip it around.
Yeah. All we got is us. Solidarity. Oh, man. I feel like there was something I wanted to mention from our personal life that I wanted to share with the fiancés, and I can't remember.
Did it have anything to do with Miss Harper's birthday?
It did. That's what it was. That's literally what it was.
I'm so good at this.
I was like, you know, I got some energy this morning. Is it because we got a chance to kick it with Harper and Rouge yesterday? Probably.
I did some writing on a chalkboard.
Mm-hmm.
Said Rudo rules, and then I crossed that out and wrote something else.
Yeah.
And I was proud of myself.
Yeah, I saw that.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. So the spot we went to celebrate Harper's birthday in St. John's. And the bathroom has a bunch of little, like, framed chalkboards, kind of. Like, use chalkboard paint. So you could just... I mean, it's a dope concept. I'm just wondering when people are washing their hands. So I use the bathroom, wash my hands, use the chalk, and then wash my hands again.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know what people are doing over there. You know. But yeah, it was really dope just to see what people write on the wall in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a cute place.
It was. We had our homie Sean in tow. Shout out to Sean. Stayed with us for a couple of days after coming out to spend the day party last weekend, which was fire. Yeah, it was good. good times. Great times were had.
Follow-up text says, oh, also, Mercury is out of retrograde. We get some time to pick up the pieces. How long do we have?
Michelle, is this accurate, though? I don't know.
How long before we get back into Gatorade?
Is it right? Is this for like 5 or 10 minutes? What's this?
I was learning a lot. Met somebody at Harper's birthday party.
Shout out to Zach.
Shout out to Zach. And he was giving me the goods on all...
The astrological.
Yes.
That stuff's too complicated to me. Rising, falling... How can I be multiple signs?
I'm not going to be able to be one to explain any of it.
I'm a Libra, but I'm a falling Capricorn. What's happening? I don't know what's going on. You're born in this window. You know? I don't know. I cannot, for the life of me, remember just the basic astrological signs.
Oh, as they stand.
Yeah, if you were like, when was your birthday? I give it to you. All right. I know mine. That's about where it stops.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, I was born in April. Oh, so you're I'm not that guy.
I kind of only know a handful, you know?
Yeah.
Because of other people in my life, I think.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Oh, so selfish, this one over here. And by this one, I mean me. Mm-hmm. I used to know all of this stuff, and I don't know it anymore. But...
That's when you had free time to just be sitting around learning things. And
yeah.
Yeah. No one's doing that mess.
Anyway, he was talking about how we're going into, or we're already in, I'm going to say all of this wrong. Something Jupiter.
Oh, I thought it was Saturn.
No.
Okay.
Because Jupiter is like, represents tyrants or something like that.
Mm, it's a vengeance.
I think that was Saturn.
That was Saturn's vengeance.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. These astrological bodies got to get it together. I don't want none.
Well, it's like I think the empire is falling, and that has a part to do with it. It's like every 248 years, there's something astrological, and they say empires fall every 250 years.
So. Cool.
Neat, neat, neat.
Happy to be here for that.
A really great time to be having... a presidential election. Mm-hmm. This is what it sounds like to me. Mm. But I'm hoping that Crystal can chime in, let us know if, in fact, we are safe. I don't know where P-Town is. Can you chime in, babe? Like, what are we dealing with?
P-Town's going to come with the nitty-gritty.
Yeah.
Like, we aren't safe.
Everything's off, guys.
Everything's off. Speaking of not being safe and burning things all down, we have talked about the effects of deregulation and how it's a scary, scary place to be with letting these corporations just do whatever they feel is safe for us. And like for me, an immediate concern was the FDA. So with all of that, there have been some recalls from Boar's Head Meats, the company that makes deli meats. I'm sorry, I just saw your notes up there. But there had been 9 deaths associated with the Listeria outbreak at Boar's Head manufacturing plants. 9 deaths and 57 people hospitalized. I have never, I think I've heard of the word Listeria.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if I've witnessed an outbreak, but it's a nationwide recall. I believe this particular plant where they found not a dozen, but dozens. And I need people to understand that when people say like, you know, there was dozens of things wrong. A dozen is 12. Dozens means at least 24. That's wild. They said there were dozens of violations at this plant, from mold,
bugs, mold, blood dripping all over the place. There were so many other things, like the ventilation, like the temperature. There was all sorts of violations.
Right.
And so you started by saying you've heard of Listeria, but I didn't really know what Listeria is. And it's a genus of bacteria that acts as an intracellular parasite in mammals.
Oh my God. Okay. This is the end.
So not too great. Most Listeria infections are mild, so they can go unnoticed. However, in some cases, an infection can lead to life-threatening complications, including generalized blood infection, inflammation of the membranes and fluids surrounding the brain, which is meningitis. I mean, 57 hospitalizations. Is it nine total deaths?
Nine total deaths. This is reported, though. Like, people might be dying and not...
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like, let's get back to the how. The deregulation that happened within Trump's administration, we are reaping what they sowed at this point. And we know that Trump will always do this. He will always take credit for someone else's win and take no credit for his own loss or, you know. He'll definitely champion this kind of deregulation to the, you know, titans of industry.
Right.
And then will tell us that that's not what happened, and, you know. But I always am reminded of the libertarian thought of we shouldn't have all these regulations, like they will just do the right thing. These companies will just do the right thing because if they don't, no one will buy their stuff. And yeah, not how this goes. And also, should we just allow those deaths and major sick illnesses to exist because Boar's Head gets to self-regulate?
Right.
And what are we doing really talking about self-regulation at all? What we know for certain is regulations are needed because people were not self-regulating.
That's how we got here, guys.
That's how we got here. The contractor foreman of the thing didn't always make sure there were no corners cut, you know? And that's what continues to happen. And what does it continue to happen for? To be able to make more profit.
Right. Like that foreman was actually instructed to cut corners for profits.
And that's what, I mean, hello.
Yeah. Everyone's forced to do more with less.
Right.
Cutting back on staff, cutting back on, you know.
And we're doing that for profit. Not because the money isn't there. Not because they can't afford to clean up their, you know, factories or make sure that there's a different crew that comes in and cleans. They do not want to spend the money on labor. They do not want to spend the money on making sure that regulations are even adhered to. It has never really made sense to me that you're just like willing to get people sick as a, you know, company.
Got to stop listening to the loud, dumb voices. They know the least and make a point to not be, to not engage with data. Like they run away from that. Data is their enemy. Data and statistics, facts, enemy, complete enemy. They got to flee at every chance they get because, I mean, this was inevitable. History has already shown this is the way things go when you deregulate. And we're talking about, you know, from a libertarian point of view, that these companies will just do what's right, but do what's right for who?
Right.
For their shareholders or for their consumers? And if you can't answer that, honestly, again, not qualified for the conversation. Like it's ludicrous. It's absolutely ludicrous. So someone said in response to, someone had tweeted about it, and in response to someone was like, and the Biden administration did nothing to counter the deregulation. And the person's response to that was, you're right. You know, the Biden administration didn't do anything. But, you know, they were dealing with the effects of an ill-handled pandemic and started running their list of all the challenges, excuse me, that the administration faced. And upon while all of
entering
that...
entering in 2021?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
And while all of that may be true, I think if they spent less time... what's the word I'm looking for? Backing a genocide, you would have time... and resources to maybe make sure the FDA can do a better job than it's ever done before. Because how are we coming out of a pandemic and no one's concerned about food quality after that? Like, it's like, give us more.
Listeria outbreak.
Like, come on, man. Come, give me a break. Give me a break. I'm not for the crap. I'm getting ramped up, Bob. I'm getting ramped up.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah. Bob says, MAGA logic says government is too incompetent and inept to regulate industry, but it's just a thing for regulating pregnant women's bodies. And you are correct. You are correct. That is peak MAGA logic right there. Yes. Michelle says, wait.
Hi, this is Jora Nones.
Oh, right.
Good morning. Astrology? No way. Tell me where you fall on the political compass.
I know that's right.
Heck yeah.
You see, also, okay, we got that one. Oh, that empire's falling is referring to the Pluto return of the United States, I think. With Pluto re-entering Capricorn just before the election, before finally transitioning into Aquarius for the rest of our lives. You know what I know about Aquarius? Jeff, I'm going to play The Age of Aquarius. All right.
Oh, boy.
I love that song.
The big, huge smile on Ambush's face is very cute. I love that song.
What else is happening?
Well, I want to talk about, very briefly, the fact that your coworker could die at their desk and you not notice for the rest of the work week, because that's what happened at Wells Fargo.
Yeah, in Tempe, Arizona.
Arizona is how you pronounce it.
Arizona.
A person died at their desk and was not discovered for 4 days. And I'm trying to figure out what kind of desk situation was this?
Right.
This is a closed door office, and the door was closed and nobody was going in. Nobody tried to empty the trash near this person's desk?
Bruh, that's a good question. Where was the trash run?
4 days? They didn't discover this woman dead until there was a stench, and they went to investigate the stench and found a dead person, a dead employee.
4 days, y'all. 4 days.
Can you imagine?
No.
I really can't. Like, I'm really struggling. Like, and I'm not going to spend too much time on it, but it's like, I just think about the amount of times that people have been like, hey, just checking to see if you got my email.
Right.
Like.
So they said the employee, you know, they clocked in or they swiped in their badge security. It's there. So they know when the person came to work. But then this person didn't swipe in or out for 4 days. I'm sorry. Just do security changeover. Someone's got to ask.
Like, they're trapped in the building.
Right.
Is this night at the museum?
Is there an elevator stuck somewhere? What's going on right now?
In the Wells Fargo.
Bruh.
And this isn't even a branch, right? This isn't a bank. So nah, it's not a like
corporate office.
She's doing a long con.
Right.
And is going to like... wake up in the vault or something and take the rest of the money.
Right. This is the inside man.
Right.
Yeah.
Like that is, that's wild to me. That
I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like it that I don't like that capitalism has us like this. I really don't.
Welcome to the club.
Me no like.
So, today we're going to talk about a few things.
It's true.
In local news, man admits to being paid for suing businesses over disability access violations. Now, now that is a very neutral way
yeah.
to describe what has happened here. And I appreciate your journalistic integrity.
All right. All right.
I'm and I want to call it something else. And then we're gonna talk about the over 45,000 Fred Meyer workers striking in Portland over alleged unfair labor practices.
Mm-hmm.
Solidarity.
Love it.
All day.
Love it.
Always with striking workers.
Come on, let's go.
And in national news, that Supreme Court, right back at it. cannot help themselves. Just must absolutely oppress.
Yeah.
The Supreme Court blocks Biden's student loan relief plan. And, you know, I'm tired. I'm tired of it.
Mm-hmm.
This is, I mean, again, dealing with the fallout from Trump, we cannot pretend as if these are not major problems. And I'm not saying that we normally do. It's just, holy moly donuts, man. This Supreme Court is the extreme court.
They are the extreme
this court. This is... They've taken us directly to the extreme court.
Take it to the extreme court.
They want nothing to do with regulations and making sure that we're safe or keeping people out of homelessness.
No, disinterested.
Just got to make sure you are hit over the head with as many bills as possible so yeah. that you cannot leave the workforce for any reason, not even the Listeria outbreak they caused. You know?
Right.
You got to go to work, even though it feels like your bones are going to shake out of your body.
Wow.
Just get yeah. to it.
Yeah.
I'm over right. it.
Okay. All right. You got the stories.
You know what we're talking about. You know what we're chatting about today.
That's right. Hit them texts.
Get involved.
Hop into a music break and catch you on the other side. And we are back.
Yeah. We did get a text during the Age of Aquarius.
Nice.
Monday was awesome. Mud was slung and I was there for it.
Who said mud was slung?
I don't know. I can't. I don't.
All right.
So, I'm getting into, you know, digging in, seeing the pictures from the
strike,
day two of the strike.
Nice.
And I'm hoping you'll dive into the story whilst I gather a few more things, because
be regaled.
Holy moly donuts, man.
All right. Wait, that's not, no. Different part of the script, guys. Here we go. At least 45,000 workers at 28 Fred Meyer stores across Portland went on strike Wednesday morning, citing what they alleged to be unfair labor practices. The strike, which began at 6 a.m., is expected to last until Tuesday, September 3rd. Coin6 was on the scene. They visited three of the affected stores and observed mostly empty parking lots, hiring signs posted outside, and several honks of support from passing vehicles. If you see that the line at one of our 28 Fred Meyers in Portland Metro, if you see that line at one of our 28 Fred Meyers in the Portland Metro area, don't cross it, warned Miles Ashia of UFCW Local 555. Just shop somewhere else. Union members claim that Fred Meyer has refused to provide essential information for current negotiations, leading to the union filing a formal charge against the company on August 20th. Our members are united in demanding fair treatment, which can only be reached if Fred Meyer actually stands behind its public statements and is willing to fulfill all their obligations and legal requirements, said UFCW Local 555 President Dan Clay. Our membership came out in overwhelming support of this action, and the community has our back. We do, y'all. We do. Fred Meyer responded with a statement acknowledging the workers' right to strike and emphasizing that the proposed merger between Kroger and Albertson would help secure the future of the unionized grocery stores in America. Protecting our associates' right to collectively bargain is why it's so important to secure the future of unionized grocery stores in America. And that's exactly what Kroger's proposed merger with Albertsons will do, the statement read.
Mm.
Oregon Senator Elizabeth Steiner expressed her support for the striking workers, stating, "I'll be out on the picket lines at the Hollywood Fred Meyer store to show the workers I stand with them to ensure that they have fair living wages, good benefits, and that they're treated with the respect and dignity they deserve." Despite the strike, Fred Meyer announced that stores would remain open to provide access to fresh food, essentials, and pharmacy services to the Portland community. How does that work if Fred Meyer is your pharmacy, though? You got to cross the line, right, to get your meds? Or make an effort to switch?
That's a good question.
And that ain't easy. All right, I'm getting back in. Fred Meyer also highlighted his status as one of the largest union employers in Oregon, noting that it paid approximately $142 million in wages last year and proposed an additional $37 million in wages over the next three-year agreement. The company offered the union a 17% pay raise over 3 years, including an 8% increase in the first year of the contract, a $3.50 hourly raise over the duration of the contract. Negotiations are ongoing, with sessions scheduled for Thursday and Friday. Ashaya shared an audio recording with Coin6 News that appears to feature Fred Meyer Division President Todd Kamier promising increased retirement investments, but no retirement proposals have been made so far, they said, alleging that the company's actions constituted direct dealing, which is not permitted under labor law. In response to the audio, a Fred Meyer spokesperson stated, "Any claims we are acting outside of the law are unfounded, and we will continue to bargain in good faith, and we will continue to fund the pension as we always have." Oregon Senator Ron Wyden also voices support for the strike on X, formerly Twitter, saying, "I love a Freddy's rotisserie chicken just as much as the next guy, but not even that's worth crossing the picket line for. I stand in solidarity with the workers striking today for better working conditions. As negotiations continue, both union and the company remain at odds over the terms of the new contract."
I'd like to add that new season's labor union members voted 82% in favor of a one-day unfair labor practice strike at 10 of the 11 unionized locations.
Wow.
So that is currently scheduled for Sunday, September 1st. We'll keep an eye on that too.
Okay. What did you call it? Was it last summer? You were like, it's a striking summer. What were you calling it?
Hot labor summer.
Hot labor summer.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm super here for it. Let's keep it popping. Another hot labor summer. We'll go right into hot labor fall. Standing united. The only war is class war that we need to, you know?
Boom.
One of the things that really gets me in these moments of a strike is seeing the signs, you know, on the door of "now hiring temporary workers. Please speak to our hiring manager or join us for on-the-spot interviews." Do not scab.
Do not. Do that.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
You know that it's challenging. There are people looking for employment everywhere.
Yep.
Understand that. But please don't.
No. Solidarity means solidarity. That means we have to make sure that these strikes are effective, and that means we do not cross that line and continue to shop, and we do not show up as workers for a place that is already exploiting its workers.
Right. Right. What do you think you're going to get?
The fact that they have ever been able to be like, "Hey, I'll pay you double to work temporarily for me while these other people, you know, are on strike.
I'm
unwilling to pay the people who are always here more money. I'm unwilling to do that. I'm unwilling to make sure that they're safe at work. I'm unwilling to make sure that they have the tools that they need.
Right.
However, I'll pay you double. You just come in and handle this for right now. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Bob said, when Kaiser pharmacists went on strike some months ago, they issued a public statement telling people it was okay to cross the picket line to get their meds.
That's so, yeah. Thank you, Bob. I mean, does that not sound like solidarity with you? Because that's those workers having solidarity with you. Let's make sure that we have solidarity with them. Like, this is the way that change happens, in my opinion. Strikes work. We know that the more money people are paid, and when I say that, I don't mean executives. I mean workers. I mean on the ground.
Yeah.
We know the more people are paid and are able to function in their real lives, the more productive they are at these little jobs.
Yeah, at your little job that you need us to do.
It just doesn't, you know, capitalism is never going to make sense. So we're not going to then make sense of it. But it does not work to overwork and underpay people, because we are being overworked into the ground and you are still needing that labor force. Still need it. And we are being hit from every single angle right now.
Yep.
And we just, I mean, just as people cannot continue to live under this amount of stress and pressure and lack. We're just in an extreme, you know, deficit of so many things.
Yeah.
That it's incredibly hard to just wake up and do, you know? There's a text that says, there was also a billboard in Beaverton weeks ago urging people to either switch their pharmacy or get meds earlier with a possible strike coming. Wow. Okay. Thank you. That's important as well. Like,
yeah.
Again, that's solidarity. Letting you know, hey, man, this will impact you. Here's how you can make sure that you are less impacted.
Right.
And also standing in solidarity with those workers. There's so, just in the pharmaceutical, or is that what we would say for pharmacies? Mm-hmm. Like,
that industry.
That industry. We are watching this, like, you know, one-stop shop, pharmacy, huge pharmacy chains just crumble right now.
Yeah.
And it has a lot to do with the fact that they are overworking all of the pharmacists, all of the,
the techs.
The techs. Thank you. I was looking at them. I mean, we're talking certain states have certain regulations. You've got to have a, you know, a pharmacist on staff every hour that it's open or whatnot.
You can't just be a tech at all.
Right. And we're not going to pay more than one.
Right. So when the pharmacist goes on break.
So when they go on break, we got to shut it down.
Yep.
And we really don't even want to give them that break. You know, like, can't you eat your sandwich and fill some scripts at the same time? What's your problem?
Why can't you eat and do consults?
I mean, 12, 14 hour days for these pharmacists and pharm techs. And they're getting paid, you know, near $0 at a Walgreens or CVS or whatnot. And then Walgreens tells us, oh man, all this theft, gonna have to close these stores. Oh, record profits. Oops, not theft.
Oopsies.
Oh, I guess that theft wasn't, maybe that wasn't happening, maybe imagined, but also gonna have to close all these stores still.
Right. You said earlier, like, capitalism, it just doesn't make sense, right?
Yeah.
It just doesn't. And, you know, I need people to, especially those that like to cape for millionaires and billionaires. Well, billionaires. Formerly being one of them. not all men, yes, all men. I need people to understand that those aspiring billionaires and billionaires that, you know, come across our content, these things aren't just happening. It's not that this thing, this capitalism is happening to us. It's not working. These things are a function of the system. Listen, there are people making decisions. there are people making decisions that they are pitching to other people. Yep. And they're in the rooms celebrating these decisions. It's really just that simple. It really is. It's not like, oopsie, I didn't think this would happen. Mm-mm. No, they planned for it. And they also plan to profit off of it.
Yep.
So, like, we really got to make sure we're not, you know, pushing talking points that we're getting from industry, from their lobbyists, from legislators that are in bed with them. And really think about yourself. Think about your community. Think about, you know, how hard it is right now. Like, this is purposeful. All of these industries are doing way better now than they were before the pandemic. They are making buku bucks.
Buku bucks.
But it's gotten harder for us. And I mean, like, going back to the, you know, not making sense thing, right? These are the same people that will tell you, if you want your car to perform at its highest capability, you should be putting 93 octane in it. Don't go 87. Don't go 89. Put in 93%, 93 octane.
Grade or?
Grade, right. You get out what you put in. This is what they're telling you. But the working conditions that we're hearing about, that's just what we're hearing about. Because a lot of the stuff is, a lot of the, like, the worst things that people are dealing with within industry are unreported. Or they're reported to whatever agency is responsible.
Mm-hmm.
And then it stops there and it doesn't make it to the news. It's not sexy. It's not exciting. And we don't talk about it as much. But when I hear things about, like, farm laborers not being able to have water, not being able to take the amount of water breaks that they're, like, why are we having a conversation around people that are doing strenuous physical labor not being able to take as many water breaks as they need to, or bathroom breaks as they need to,
right?
When your company is flourishing and you're also cutting corners inside the plant, right? Because of deregulation. I like, but this isn't like, oh, they didn't realize one thing would affect the other. These are decisions they are making wholeheartedly.
Policy choices.
Thank you.
Policy choices. We are not tripping and falling into...
Whoa.
Yeah, there is no banana peel.
Right.
This is literally a decision made to make sure that people... Some people benefit and some don't. And most don't. A reminder that... the average executive compensation for a Fred Meyer executive is $235,000.
Oh. I'd like to be.
That's the average executive compensation. That's not. So
I would enjoy that.
When they're talking. Well, and when they're talking about a $3.50 raise over a 3 to 4, 5 year contract. Much like when we, you know, paying attention to the details of striking negotiations is really important because people hear the numbers. Like, what do you mean? They're trying to give you a $3.50 raise. They're trying to give you, you know, 27% of it up front. They're trying to, or 17%, whatever it was. Right. Y'all, we are the biggest, most egregious, most costly theft, crime, is wage theft. They already owe. They are already billions behind.
Right.
So this, like, we're going to catch you up to speed, which it won't even be up to what a livable wage is, because we're still talking about the livable wage we needed 10 years ago. We're still asking for that today. And that's not enough. And you have, like, Shake Shack right now talking about they're closing a bunch of stores because the $20 minimum wage in California is just, you know, breaking their backs, I guess. For real? Because everywhere else has more workers and they're keeping those workers.
Right.
Are you closing those stores in Ohio and Nebraska and wherever else for the same reason? Because they don't have the same law. They don't have the same deal. So what are we closing those for? They are literally just lying to us. There is almost never a time that we should be siding with any of these corporations.
Ever.
Companies.
Ever.
Executives. Like, when are they telling us the thing that's better for us and not for them? When does that happen? We hear that from unions. We hear not from the, you know, CEO of Kroger or local Fred Meyer or whatever. And a general, I mean, hitting the pockets is what matters, right? Changing somebody's bottom line.
Yep.
That is how differences get made. That is how grievances get heard. They still don't care.
Nah.
But if it means that we're going to get, y'all get back to work and we're not going to have this bad press and maybe, you know, use your leverage. Continue to do that. We are a union town. Be union strong. Like,
that's it.
This is what it's about. All unions except for police unions.
Yeah, all but police unions. We don't care about them. They're terrible. Terrible. They give unions a bad name. You know,
they are like HR, where you, you know, you think HR is there for you when really they're there for the company. And the thing is how it works for a police union is they're going to do their darndest to keep you out of the fray because you being in the fray looks bad for us.
Right.
We want to still be able to oppress. We want to still be able to do foots on necks, you know?
Knees on backs.
Yeah.
All of that good stuff.
All of that. Don't cross that picket line, y'all. Don't do it. Don't do it as a shopper. Don't do it as a temporary worker. No scabs.
Yeah.
All 2024.
Boom.
All forever, honestly.
Yeah.
Anyway, give me a music break, Ambush. We got to figure out what's next.
All right. When you said police unions give unions a bad name, immediately it brought this song to mind.
Mm-hmm. I'm jumping in to this.
More local news.
More local news. A man admits to being paid for suing businesses over disability access violations. Jeez. Y'all. I mean, strap in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
A second man who filed 24 lawsuits against small businesses in Oregon for alleged disability access violations admitted in court on Tuesday that he received about $600 a month for visiting the locations and making the claims.
Mm.
U.S. Magistrate Judge Yuli Yim Yu had ordered Justin Burley Beavers of Portland to appear and answer if he had truthfully completed an application to proceed as an indigent plaintiff exempt from court fees. Burley Beavers confessed in court that he received a check for $200 from a Tennessee-based law firm for each business he visited, typically visiting three places a month. He was compensated after providing proof of purchase, such as a receipt, showing he had bought something from each business. He acknowledged not reporting these payments on his December 8th, 2023 indigent application.
Whoa.
Writing on the form that he hadn't incurred any expenses related to the lawsuits. Burley Beaver said he viewed the checks as reimbursements for the items or services purchased. I'm just going to say reimbursement is the exact amount you've spent.
Right.
If you spend 20 and you get 200, that's not, the rest ain't a tip, you know? His admission came after another disabled man revealed in federal court earlier this month that he too was paid by the same Memphis law firm. Burley Beaver's local attorney, Jessica Lee Mulligan, and I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing any of these names, is facing a motion seeking sanctions against her, a malpractice suit, and a state bar investigation stemming from these lawsuits alleging violations with the of the Americans with Disabilities Act. The targeted businesses have pushed back in court, claiming that they received legal demand letters from Mulligan to bring their properties into compliance with federal law, made good faith changes, but were still sued and then asked to settle the suits for thousands of dollars in attorney's fees.
Mm-mm.
Both Burley Beavers and the other disabled man are named plaintiffs in these suits. Burley Beavers stated he acted as a tester to see if businesses had proper access for disabled people. He would purchase items like beef jerky at mini marts or pay $60 to $80 for a massage and then share those receipts with the Tennessee law firm. He also considered the checks to cover his grandmother's gas expenses for driving him to these various locations. Burley Beavers, a double amputee due to meningitis, argued, "I received reimbursement, but no actual income." Under questioning from Judge Yu, Burley Beavers confirmed that he had received checks, admitting his application was inaccurate. He disclosed that since January 2022, he had been part-time employed by the Memphis law firm Wampler, Carroll, Wilson, and Sanderson, and usually received about $600 monthly. Burley Beavers stated that Memphis lawyer B.J. Wade had assured him that his indigent application looked fine. Burley Beavers has filed 24 lawsuits in federal court in Oregon since 2023.
20 lawsuits since 2023.
24 lawsuits.
24.
Okay. Since 2023, alleging ADA violations against small businesses, with six of those cases still pending. Others were dismissed voluntarily by Burley Beavers.
Wow.
The hearing on Tuesday concerned a case filed on December 14th, 2023, against the owners of a property housing Utopia Restaurant and Lounge in Portland. Excuse me. Attorney David S. Foster initially represented Burley Beavers, but withdrew in June, with Mulligan taking over. Mulligan, who is under investigation by the Oregon State Bar's Disciplinary Council, appeared in court and initially declined to comment. She later asked how to proceed if her client had improperly filled out his indigent application. Judge Yu suggested she would likely dismiss the lawsuit due to the inaccurate information provided in the application. Quote, "In my view, the $200 checks from a Tennessee law firm should have been accounted for," Judge Yu states. Another plaintiff, Connor Slevin, admitted earlier this month to being paid $200 per visit to inspect businesses for ADA compliance as part of a similar arrangement with the same Memphis law firm.
Oh my gosh.
Records indicate Mulligan filed more than 40 such lawsuits in Oregon, while the Memphis-based lawyers have filed over 200 nationally, which one federal judge described as a shakedown.
Yeah, I'd say so.
The state bar continues to investigate Mulligan for potential professional misconduct related to these lawsuits, and the Memphis law firm has not returned requests for comments. Oh, shocking.
Yeah, I just...
Y'all! Y'all! At the same time that we are dealing with the deregulation on federal levels, we are also dealing with the abuse of the system on the state and federal levels.
Federal, yeah.
I mean, is that not a racket?
Dog.
A law firm in Memphis sending out their...
what'd you call them? Agents?
Agents.
Yeah.
Across the country to essentially
drum up lawsuits
with small businesses. We're not even talking we going to Walmart.
Right. No. Right.
We're not talking about we are talking small businesses that, I mean, this is very much a shakedown.
Oh yeah. It's super predatory. The type of law firm that has the ability to do this nationally, right? You got the resources to do this nationally, and you're going after small businesses.
Imagine.
You're setting them up.
As a small business.
Right.
I mean, for the most part, these firms are not conglomerates.
Right.
Although there were a lot of names there. Maybe it's like Hanlon and McGill from right. Better Call Saul. Maybe it's a really big firm.
Right.
But
yeah, fam. That's nasty
it's
work.
It's nasty work. It's very nasty work.
Yeah.
When there are so many places that have the money or the resources, know what the regulations are, know how they are supposed to be compliant, and they simply do not do it. And then you have small businesses who are doing their level best to make sure that they are compliant.
Right.
And can't afford to do a bunch of the things that would make them compliant. So they do these workarounds. They do, you know?
Right.
And if we're also going to, I mean, to be clear, you know, if a workaround is unsafe, I don't mean to be.
No, not at all.
Take what we get. That's not what I mean. But there's a different level of intent. And I think that that matters, especially when the intent coming from an out-of-state law firm that is not in any way like known as an advocate for people with disabilities. They're just using people with disabilities to make money.
Babe, they're empowering the disabled community's voice.
Ooh.
All right? To fight businesses for improper practices. That's what they're doing.
You know what's really sad?
Come on.
Is that somebody is arguing that right now.
Right.
Someone is saying, you're wrong, Morgan. They are empowering folks. They're not even empowering the people they're employing to do this recon.
Not with those rates.
Like, number one, you are getting people who have caregivers and you're only paying the person who's supposed to go into, like, also, what do you mean buying beef jerky at one place and getting massages at another? I feel like we need to be checking out what businesses are getting shook down. I can't believe you just yawned into the mic.
I thought I went down. Sorry about that.
Wow. So contagious.
Did I give it to our listeners? You guys out there yawning? Let me know. Shoot me a text. I'm apologize. Sorry, I didn't mean that.
Gonna have to ramp it up.
Yeah. We gotta get some lawsuits pending.
Okay.
You said ramping up.
I did. Okay. That was on me.
It's only one way to go. Shout out to, you know, OG Santos.
No.
I won't bring him into Thursday.
You're going to.
No, I won't. Well, Monday content is Monday content. Thursday content is Thursday content. Unless content from Thursday doesn't get covered on Thursday, in which it makes it into Monday content.
Right back into a production meeting. Fiancés, how you feel about that? Are you tired? Have you had enough?
I'm going back to the story. I'm curious to see how this is all going to pan out, honestly. This is the first time we're hearing of something like this, but I think it's pretty safe to say that this is probably happening in other states with other firms.
Oh, definitely. I mean, if this one firm has filed 200 lawsuits nationally, there's another firm doing this.
And they're based in Memphis.
Yeah.
Where is the firm in Oregon that is doing the same thing?
Right.
And they got cases in D.C. Like,
well, I think we're going to find out with this investigation on Mulligan, because she's over here doing 40 lawsuits. And they're like, now, wait a minute. When the state bar starts looking at you, I feel like it's
none too good.
Even if it's, you know, even if you come out fine, do you come out fine?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a wild deal.
Nasty work.
I just, you know, there are some things are very simple.
Yeah. Most things are very simple. Honestly. The difficulty for a lot of people is, you know, removing themselves from the equation.
Wow. So real.
That's the obstacle.
Just can't do it.
Oh my God.
All right. I'm going to take, I'll take one more music break, all if right. you would. And then we'll get into the Joe Byron story.
In that old extreme court.
In the extreme court.
This just in.
Oh.
J.D. Vance has lost his mind.
Well, it was last night.
Okay.
It was this just in to us.
He's ramping up, guys.
Y'all probably saw this. There's, you know, so many different stories. We were talking about that last night, and thankfully Ambush was like, you know what, Morgan? I got this. I got the news. So I missed that a one J.D. Vance told, well, didn't tell. At a rally yesterday, said that Kamala Harris can go to hell. She can go to hell.
Wow.
Sitting vice president. And I'm saying that because this is the party that does that decorum thing when anybody says, like, Donald Trump is a dictator or wants to be a dictator. They're like, decorum, how do you speak to a former president that way? A sitting vice president, he says, you can go to hell. While being mad, I think, that she isn't, or that she, isn't investigating why Donald Trump is getting in trouble for being at the Arlington Cemetery with cameras. I don't know.
I mean, come on, bro.
Well, I just don't understand what these people are. Is it a free fall? Is it a free fall? I'm still just trying to figure out how J.D. Vance is a serious, like, how I'm saying his name because he's on a presidential ticket.
Right.
Like, that just does not make sense. But here he is, you know, just doing what they do. I don't know if you guys have seen that clip. There's a clip of him trying to, you know, do the, I relate to the small town Americas, you know, and he's at like a donut shop. Have you seen this?
No. Oh, I did see that.
And he doesn't know how to respond to anybody.
Yeah,
and so he's like, okay. Hey, so how long you been here? And the person's like 2 months. And he's like, yeah, cool. Great. How about you? 6 months. Cool. Yeah. Awesome. Cool. Just go ahead and put, you know, any of the donuts in there. Just make it look good. Just, you know, it's probably get a lot of glaze. So yeah, how long have you been here? Oh yeah, cool, nice, yeah.
Like, I'm running for vice president. They were like, okay.
The woman literally said, okay. And he was like, yeah, cool, yeah.
He's oozing charisma, bro.
Yeah, just all the. Oh, I thought
Riz.
There you go.
All the Riz.
Made it safe.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah,
we do have a guest in the studio today. Tempo is here,
yeah,
and does absolutely despise when Ambush uses
modern-day colloquialisms.
Yeah, I cannot say that word.
It's a tough one.
But you just let it roll right off that tongue. It just worked out perfect just now.
There's a vid of this father. He's in the car with his two daughters. I think I put it in. I think I might have sent it to the fam on Instagram. And he pulls up to a drive-thru and he's just letting it rip. It every third or fifth word is some slang that he has no business saying. And his daughters are like, they're like, pull off. They're gasping. They're like, oh, just stop. Like, it's hilarious.
All cringe, bro.
Oh, so good. So good.
All right, you got to jump into this last story for us.
Yeah, man.
If you would.
I will.
Thank you.
The Supreme Court on Wednesday put a temporary hold on President Biden's plan to reduce student loan monthly payments for millions of borrowers and cancel remaining balances after 20 years of payments. In a brief order with no dissents, the justices denied an emergency appeal from the Biden administration and indicated they would wait for a further ruling from a U.S. appeals court in St. Louis, which had previously blocked the plan from taking effect. The court expects that the Court of Appeals will render its decision with appropriate dispatch. The Supreme Court order stated This decision marks a temporary setback for the Biden administration and suggests that the court's conservative majority remains skeptical of Biden's authority to enact sweeping changes to student debt relief without explicit congressional approval. The case against Biden's plan was brought by Republican attorneys general from Missouri and 10 other states. They argue that the plan, which could cost hundreds of billions of dollars, exceeded the legal authority granted to the president of the Department of Education. In June, district judges in Kansas and Missouri sided with the states, leading the Eighth Circuit Court in St. Louis to issue a nationwide order halting the plan's implementation. After 2 weeks ago, Solicitor General Elizabeth Prelogar requested the Supreme Court lift the Eighth Circuit's order or at least narrow its scope. She argued that the policies in question, adjusting payments based on income and forgiving loans after 20 years, are consistent with the provisions of the Higher Education Act, which have been in place for decades. However, the justices opted to leave the nationwide order in place for the time being. This is not the first time the Supreme Court has blocked a student debt relief effort by the Biden administration. Last year, in a 6-3 ruling, the court struck down Biden's plan to forgive student loans as part of COVID-19 pandemic response, arguing that Congress had not authorized a mass debt cancellation program. Congress had not authorized a mass debt cancellation program. If you cancel debt, where do you think the money's going to go that people would spend it? Right back into the economy. It's not going into space. It's not going into their vacation home. It's
definitely going into space.
Like,
what do you mean?
The administration had relied on a law firm, on a law from the Iraq War era that allowed for the modification of loans in response to national emergencies. But the justices found this reasoning insufficient for a broad relief effort. Undeterred by last year's ruling, President Biden announced a new set of student debt relief measures in April aimed at saving around 30 million billions of dollars. There we go. One key program known as SAVE was designed to reduce payments for 8 million borrowers, including leaving 4.5 million with a zero monthly payment, initially estimated to cost $180 billion. The program cost has increased as it expanded to cover more loans. Despite the revised plan on reducing payments rather than outright canceling debt, it still faced legal challenges for its broad scope and significant financial impact. A coalition of 11 Republican state attorneys generals argued that Biden had again overstepped his authority, leading to federal judges in Kansas and Missouri blocking parts of the Education Department's new programs. The SAVE plan is a transformative expansion in the regulatory authority and will cost the government $475 billion over 10 years, said the U.S. District Judge Daniel Crabtree in Kansas City. The ongoing legal battles underscore the contentious nature of student loan relief in the U.S. and the challenges the Biden administration faces in implementing its policy goals. In the wake of the Supreme Court's decision, President Biden remains resolute in his commitment to student debt relief. The Supreme Court tried to block me from relieving student debt, but they didn't stop me, Biden told a rally in May. I relieved student debt for over 5 million Americans. I'm going to keep going. The administration now awaits the appeals court decision to determine the future of a student loan relief efforts. Once again, where do people think the money is going to go? If we relieve the debt, oh my word, all of these people will just hoard their money and it's just going to freeze the economy. We are going to spend. Listen, you know what I want more than anything? I'll tell you guys. I would love to have some debts relieved so I could buy more comics. So I can buy more action figures, so I can go see every movie opening weekend and treat my friends.
Oh,
that's what I want to do.
Yeah,
and also have a house. You know,
would be cool.
Yeah, like, bruh,
would be cool.
We have been spending our whole lives spending money to survive.
Bruh.
Finding pockets for leisure. What makes you think that if we had more money, we'd do less?
Right. You've already trained us. We are indoctrinated to consume.
We're conditioned.
Yeah.
I should have a new iPhone right now.
No.
But maybe not because of, you know, ramifications, what's happening and mining it.
Maybe not because of ramifications. Also, you just don't need a new iPhone.
Morgan,
oh.
The cameras, they just keep getting better. And then there's that storage issue. If you
actually won't care about moving cameras along, and storage, along, we'll talk about moving, Android phones along, and a better operating go. System and platform and better cameras.
I put myself in that
yeah, spot. Right there. Right there. Right. Tied yourself to that train track.
There are PS5 games, the new consoles coming out, possibly. They're talking about, and this is, this
listen, a who?
A new console.
Oh, okay. Because you know? That's and certainly saying needed right now.
The Wolverine game may only be available on that new, they know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. And guess what, babe? I'm not going to lobby for a new console. As much as I love Wolverine, and as much as I need that game, I'm not going to do it. I won't.
Thanks.
Thanks.
So I want to know, and fiancés, you may be able to find this answer for me. Who has sued the U.S. government for all of the military spending that we do each year that then takes money away from programs that we need here? Does that happen yearly?
Right.
Is this a class action we can do? Who's doing that? Because here we are suing the government to, you don't want debt relief to happen.
Right.
Who is suing on behalf of the trillions of dollars we're spending on defense? And putting that in some real cute bubble letter air quotes.
What did Kamala say recently? We're going to have the most lethal military. Boy. You don't know nothing about that.
You don't know, Nan.
You know, nothing about that. Kaylin just gave us a shout out. She said, great show.
Guys. Get out of town.
She's tuned in.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
College students don't listen to us.
They do now.
Ha ha.
Yeah.
It's my little bear cub.
The extreme court.
Yeah. Who's doing that? I want to know. I'd like to jump on that bandwagon, please. I'd like to be a if in the case against the U.S. government for spending trillions of dollars on moita.
Moita.
Mass moita. Because I feel like we could be doing a whole lot more with that money. And I would love to see some debts relieved with the amount of money we spend on, you know, bombs that go elsewhere or bombs that we deploy. Drones that we deploy to kill black and brown people around the world. It's going to be, I'm ready.
I too am ready. And I would love to like look a legislator that is against debt relief for its citizens. I would love to like have a conversation and sit down with that person and be like, your constituents, why do you want your constituents buried in debt? If there's an opportunity to, you know, free them up.
Right.
Why? Or better yet, maybe you're against this particular way of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But what policies have you been researching and working on to relieve your constituents? What's the way you want to see it done?
Bruh. Where's the relief come in? Where's the relief come in?
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
We continuously bail out the wrong things and go industry over people, profits over people all the time. At some point, we have to be for real. At right. some point, we have to actually be doing right by the people that are on this planet pushing us all forward, right? Like, we're in such a bad way.
Yeah.
That to your point and to this text's point that just says all caps lethal. That's what we're worried about, projecting power and not actually doing safety. We don't care about our public safety. We care about projecting power.
Right.
Big gross. I would much rather. Yeah, globally. I would much rather spend those big bucks creating the infrastructure that we actually need and taking care of. Actually, let me not even say taking care of. Keeping the promises of this being the best country, right? And the most prosperous. And that making it be the place that you want other people to come.
That'd be nice.
And not just for exploiting their labor, for genuinely joining the fabric of this, you know.
Yeah.
Land,
that'd be super cool. Super, super cool. So before we close out, I wanted to share this with you. I meant to share it with you yesterday, but I'm actually happier that I can share it with you now.
Here we are.
Like I said, if I had more money, I'd buy more comics. But there's a comic that's coming out. I believe it's released in a day from what Rudo told me. The Donald Who Laughs versus Dark Brandon.
Stop.
And here's the cover.
Wow.
So there's a DC character in the Batman Who Laughs. He's a villain. Absolutely sinister. One of the best things to come out of DC in so long. They got
Trump
over there looking like the Batman Who Laughs. It's terrible. And Dark Brandon here
looks like some
symbiote stuff happening there.
Yeah, he's got a Venom outfit, but he's also clearly Brightburn.
Yeah.
So basically, Dark Brandon is Homelander.
Pretty much. Man, well, thank you guys for tuning in to another great show. News of My Fiance brought to you by Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush, and our podcast editor Kyle G.
Bah, 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 bah.
DJ Major listening in, and DJ Tempo and Steve.
Yes.
Songs have been added to the playlist. They're good to go for your viewing pleasure. And you know how it is. Don't let the individuals distract you from the systems. Poverty is a policy choice. People over profits, power to the people. None of us are free until we are all free. Thank you so much for listening.
Bye.